behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Boland.
Ben, today's topic is along the lines of an unusual race.
Yeah, no kidding.
A race, competition, show, I don't know.
Art exhibit.
Exhibit is maybe a better way to say it. I know it's an actual race that we're going to talk about, but I don't know anything of the trophies or anything like that or any kind of the accolades that you get for winning this race.
Uh-huh.
Other than you showed up and you made a good showing of the whole event, the whole day, the whole
right.
festival, right? The whole everything that goes along with it.
Right. And we should go ahead and, oh, this is so interesting, Scott. I'm not sure where we should begin other than saying that there is a real Dr. E.P. Kitty Vunderkammer, but that's not his real name.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's some changing around of the name of this event, and that may confuse people. So what we're talking about today is something called the hand car races, or the great hand car races of, what is this?
Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa. The great hand car regatta, mm-hmm. maybe, of Santa Rosa. And then the name has been changed to Dr. E.P. Kitty's Wunderkammer, featuring the Great Sonoma County Handcar Races. Now that's a mouthful,
yeah.
But that is what this event goes by, and it is a gathering of people with interest in, I guess, the steampunk culture.
Yeah, the design ethic is Victorian science fiction. That's according to Marta Cohen, owner of the Haute Couture Vintage and Costume Rentals in Railroad Square. So how do you, her quotation is, how do you take the strictly Edwardian stuff and bring it forward to a punk edge?
All right. So here, let's kind of back up here to
yeah.
Because we're
yeah.
getting a little bit deeper into this already.
Yeah,
than we should. I think maybe we should tell people that, this is something that happens yearly.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one year when they didn't run, but we'll talk about that too, the history of this thing.
Right.
And it's an annual event. It is happening this year. You have not missed this year's event, which is important, because we'll tell you about the dates of this thing that's happening in 2014, and you
mm-hmm.
you still have plenty of time to catch it if you're listening to this within the week that we broadcast. And we can tell you about who competes, why they compete, you know, the whole theory around the festival, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck does Wunderkammer mean? maybe describe steampunk a little bit, I guess, maybe. And then
sure.
I would like to move on from this, because, you know, you heard in the title, it's handcar.
Right.
And car races.
And? Speeder cars,
which is a powered version of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we'll kind of shift gears at some point and talk about the powered versions of hand cars. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
A little oxymoron there, I guess, maybe. But, yeah, I think the speeder cars have some interest as well to Car Stuff listeners. So,
yeah.
Let's start with this hand car race.
Yeah, so this handcar regatta begins as the brainchild of a promoter named Ty Jones and an arts activist named Spring Maxfield. Now, for anyone who is wondering, what is a handcar? It's exactly what it sounds like, a small human-powered vehicle for the rail. This is in so many films and stories. Probably the most famous example of a hand car for a lot of people is the very simple setup of a seesaw kind of device. And you have two people on either side pushing up and down to create the forward momentum.
Exactly right. Yeah. And these are cars that were meant to service the railroad tracks initially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maintenance
guys would take tools down the track. And, you know, you can't jump in a giant steam locomotive every time you need to get 2 miles down the track. You would have to use one of these hand cars to pump your way down the track, you know, with you and possibly a partner. It could just be one person mm-hmm. operated, but I bet it would be very heavy to do that.
It's still faster than walking if you have two people and you have a load of stuff.
Exactly right. Yeah, you couldn't carry. That's the thing, is they couldn't carry all the tools and equipment that they needed to get to and from these work sites on the railroad. So that's what they would use. And I know everybody can picture this. I mean, you said films, movies, even cartoons have these things.
Oh, yeah.
Think about the old cartoons with Mickey Mouse doing this, or Bugs Bunny even.
Right.
I can think of, you know, probably a dozen cartoons where I've seen them using these hand cars, and it's exactly like it is in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference here is that in this event, in this festival that we're talking about, they go quite a bit more ornate with these things.
Yeah, they're kind of like art cars.
They definitely are. It becomes more of a show. So you said that this is the brainchild of a guy named Ty Jones, and you mentioned Spring Maxfield, right?
Yes.
And I guess this went on from about 2008 through 2011,
mm-hmm.
and it's in Santa Rosa, the railroad square there in Santa Rosa, which is in Marin County, I believe. Is that right?
Sonoma.
Okay, so it's just north of San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
up in that area of the world. And what they do is they take a section of track, or two sections of track that run side by side, and as part of this bigger festival, they run what they call the hand car races, and they have these I don't know, maybe two dozen hand cars that people have created or built over the previous year.
Yeah.
Bring them out and display them, and they actually have a race on these tracks, almost like think about it like a drag strip.
Yeah, and it's a cool idea because these vehicles all actually function, don't get me wrong with what I'm about to say. They do spend the appropriate amount of time on maintenance, but it's obvious they spend a lot more time on aesthetic.
Yeah, it's very cosmetic. You're right, aesthetic.
It's like the steampunk idea persists.
Rolling sculpture. That's really what it is.
Nice work,
yeah.
Scott.
Thank you very much. I think they call them, you know what, in a sense, it's kind of like kinetic sculptures. And that's the way you can think of these things.
Yeah.
They're very ornate, very cool looking.
And this is hugely popular, you guys. Just for the one in 2011, they drew over 12,000 people.
12,000 people who are crowding around the tracks to watch these things run.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge. And this is I don't know. I want to say like it's a relatively remote location, but then again, you're drawing from a huge area. You could be drawing from, you know, the San Francisco area too.
I mean, I bet.
Close enough. So a lot of people show up for this, and it's a big, big event. And, you know, we kind of left off with saying that, in 2011, this is the crowd it drew in 2008 through 2011. So there were four solid years there. What happened in 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that there was going to be a strike. There was going to be some track closures that happened in Sonoma, the Sonoma Marin area.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the group that's called SMART, which is the Sonoma Marin Area Rail Transit, construction project was happening at that time. And they said that there may be some track closures. And, I guess the two of them, Ty Jones and Spring Maxfield, dissolved their partnership at that time. And for 2012, it was kind of iffy whether it was going to happen or not.
Yeah.
And then they decided, well, for 2013, we're going to get this thing back on the road again. And Ty Jones, paired up with someone named Kathy Kingman, who is an event promoter.
Right.
And that is when they came up with, the Dr. E.P. Kitties Wunderkammer.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring? Should I say the whole thing again, I guess?
Let's say the whole thing every time.
Dr. E.P. Kitties Wunderkammer featuring the Great Sonoma County Handcar Races. So let's just stick with handcar races.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah,
So they reinstituted this thing for 2013, and it was as popular as ever, I guess. People just love this thing. So guess what? It's back again for 2014. We've got the dates that we'll get to in a minute here, but they want you to, I'm looking at kind of an article here and how they want you to kind of think about this whole thing. And they want you to think about it as like an old fashioned country fair and a circus combined.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, older type acts that come together. Human power rides
are a big thing. Circus acts, local musicians, there's live music and art and stuff for your family to do. It's a really fair description to call this, you know, a county fair, because it's not just a race. The race is like the big tentpole event of this weekend. They also completely welcome people dressing up in their own steampunk kind of thing, right?
Sure, that's actually it's something that they encourage you to do, because that's kind of the theme of this whole thing. It's an old time country fair and circus, and they really want you to get the feel that this is set in the, and I believe the latest one is set
1900s?
In the early 1900s. Yeah. The last one they said, why don't you make it like the late 1800s, for the previous 4 years, but they've updated it a little bit, Ben. So early 1900s is kind of the theme here.
Right.
The steampunk thing, we'll talk about that too in a minute, but that definitely comes up. Now, one thing we haven't done yet, we haven't talked about the definition of Wunderkammer.
Ah, yes, which is, therein lie a tale.
Yeah, that's right. It's, the actual definition of this thing, it's a German word,
mm-hmm.
and it's a place where a collection of curiosities and rarities is exhibited. Now, that makes sense for this whole event, because that's kind of what this whole thing is about.
Yeah.
The German word literally means wonder chamber. So think about it like a display, a building, and an office space or something that is just jammed with with curiosities, oddities, things like that. In fact, did you ever watch the television show Oddities on the Discovery Science Channel?
Yes.
That is exactly what we're talking about here. That is a Wunderkammer.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And also, this is such a tangent, but you and I are both huge museum fans. The Wunderkammer, or also in English called the Cabinet of Curiosities, was the precursor to what we understand as museums today.
Hmm.
So, thank you, German language, German curiosity collectors.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. So, okay, so that ties this all together.
Sure.
It tells you kind of what to expect when you get there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now, Kingman, just so that you know, kind of what her credentials are here, she is part of the Northern California Pirate, or she was part of the Northern California Pirate Festival in Vallejo, California. And then also, I think she worked for a lot of years on a Renaissance pleasure fair in Marin County's Black Point Forest. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's got a lot of experience with events like this, you know, where people are encouraged to dress up and really play the part of, you know, whatever it happens to be for the theme of that event. And that's exactly what's going on here. And, you know, of course, Ty Jones, he's been on since the beginning, so he wants this to work as well. And I don't know, you know, as far as how you should dress for this thing, there's some good descriptions of some types of, you know, Victorian era or steampunk-esque, you know, clothing that is suggested, I guess, for things like this. And you know, costume makers that have, kind of thrown in their two cents as to what you might want to wear to this event. Now, it sounds kind of silly, but, you know, you ever go to a costume party and you don't dress up and you feel kind of out of place because you didn't dress up?
Yeah.
You know, like a Halloween party or something like that. And it's a similar thing, I think, because you would get there and you'd find that, you know, most of the people are in fact dressed in this steampunk gear.
Sure, with their pith helmets and whatnot.
Yeah, and the goggles and, you know, things like that. I mean, the crazy lace-up boots and all that stuff. And there's suggested dress for men, suggested dress for women. Just, it's kind of neat. And that one thing that they also mention is that fashion cycles go in 40-year blocks. And so this is kind of an interesting little tip, I guess, if you're going to dress up for this thing. You know, some people will, some people won't.
Mm-hmm.
She says, look for pieces from the 1890s, which made sense to me, the 1930s, or the 1970s if you want to fit in here.
That is a very interesting theory, and it's one I've heard before. Let's talk about the hand cars themselves. Guys, this is something that you'll want to take some time and look at online for yourself, because in an audio podcast, it can be a little difficult for us to do it justice.
And the thing is, you absolutely have to do this if you want to really get a grasp of what's going on, because there are videos of this, there are images of this, there's so many photos of this happening.
Yeah.
And if you go to the site, which we're going to tell you in a minute here for the event,
sure.
You'll get an idea of what these contraptions are all about. But I can tell you some names and the names of the vehicles, if you want, just an example.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
All right, so just for example, I got three or four here that we can mention. There's a team called the Boxcar Gang, because, you know, these are groups of five or six people typically that put these things on and roll down the track. It's not just individuals. So there's one called the Boxcar Gang, and their vehicle is called the Getaway, and they all wear prison outfits from the early 1900s, and that's kind of their thing, right?
It's very, oh, brother, where art thou?
Yeah, exactly right. And then there's something called the South Pacific Coasters. And they ride on something called the Cyclotron, which is kind of like a bicycle with an outrigger to the side for balance. Mm. You can probably picture that.
Yeah.
You know, the cycle cars. Also, there's something called the Red Couch, and that is exactly what it is. And the team is called the Red Couch. The vehicle is called the Red Couch. And it's just simply a red couch that travels down the track.
So, I like that, because it's clear that they had the one idea and said, let's make this happen.
Again, these are all human-powered vehicles. You know,
right.
They don't have to be hand-car power. They can be foot, you know, pedal power.
Yeah.
They're human-powered vehicles.
Technically, you could have somebody pushing them, just behind them pushing it.
You could, but that would be very heavy, because I think what they play on is the gears making this all work.
Right.
Very, very heavy, because these things are, you know, more than a ton, some of them.
And people are racing not necessarily to win as much as they are to show off their ride.
Oh, yeah. And talk about show off. There's a group called the Walnut Court Apprentices, and they ride on something called the Kryptonite Cruiser. And you see, get an idea that these are pretty fanciful. They're very, very ornate. There's some bicycle-like hand cars that I think are really cool. We call them velocipedes here in the United States. And it's a very heavy duty looking thing. It looks like a bicycle or a low motorcycle almost, with train wheels. So it's very, very heavy. You probably couldn't lift these things yourself. You'd have to have several people.
Yeah.
Or a machine to do it. And then it has an outrigger that goes to the other rail with one more train wheel on it, which is, for balance, right? For stability.
Yeah.
And, there's a few of those that compete, and they're powered by a rowing motion. It's like a rowing machine, but it looks like a bicycle.
Which would be really cool to have. Can you imagine if we somehow rode those to work every day, Scott? We would be beast, man.
We definitely would, but there's an auction house close to here that there's a kind of a beat up one that's been there for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Has not sold, but it's very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So you get an idea that, you know, people put a lot of time and effort into these hand cars, and some of them go to great pains to make them look very steampunk-esque, which is kind of like this Victorian era with a punk edge, future. What do you call? What would you say steampunk is?
We've talked over this before. Yeah, we've talked about this before. So I actually thought about this for a while, and I think I've got it, Scott.
Okay,
let's describe it as an alternative history wherein the world's technology evolved from steam and stayed with steam.
Hmm. Okay, so it's like a future fantasy for someone from the 1800s.
Right. Yeah.
Because,
that's good too.
Because they would only have a knowledge of steam powered vehicles. They wouldn't yet know of internal combustion engines, things like that. So they don't know of other forms of propulsion other than steam.
Right. There's this thing called the Society for Creative Anachronism, I think, which holds events that are like this and for people who have this interest. And from what I understand, this is an idea, a concept that captivates and fascinates a lot of people.
Hmm.
You and I, of course, are not the heads of steampunk entire, but one thing that we do love is that we've seen some amazing steampunk cars and vehicles. You know, one thing that I do like about the idea of steampunk is that the people who are fans of steampunking vehicles, mm-hmm. eventually, man, they're going to build my dream Zeppelin.
You dream? Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they will.
You got a dream Zeppelin, huh?
Yeah. I'm like a deep person. Mm. I have dreams and stuff, and one of those is a Zeppelin.
Okay. All right. You know what? A good example. What's that movie with Will Smith, The Wild Wild West?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
That's a great example.
There is a lot of steampunk gear in that. I guess technology in that, and that's actually set back then. So it's like it's kind of a strange mix.
Yes, Wild Wild West, that's a fantastic example, Scott. And I'm sorry we're digressing a little bit because as you can tell, listeners, we're both interested in this thing. And if you're interested in the race, we have some good news. Scott, as you said earlier, it's not too late to go this year.
That's right. The 2014 event dates are as follows. You can go to this thing. It's in mid-September. It's September 13th. 2014, that's when this festival is going to happen. And I think it's about 7 hours. It's like from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And if you want all the information for this, you can go to www. Do I have to say www anymore?
I don't think you have to. It sounds good.
I don't think people do anymore. No. I'm just going to say go to wunderkammerfestival.com.
And that's spelled with a W.
Oh, yeah, with a W. How about this? Wunderkammer. How about that? wunderkammerfestival.com. And, I mean, expect, you know, lots of local music, food, entertainment. Again, you know, it's a music and food festival, so that's what it's all about.
Right.
But I think if you get there and you see these Sonoma County handcar races that are part of this whole thing, you know, part of the big event, I think you're going to be really impressed. And check it out online. Look at some of the photos of, you know, previous year's competitions. So you'll kind of know what to expect. And it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Also, now I know this podcast is weird today because while we were looking at hand cars, we ran into something that was so interesting. We said, car stuff has to hear about this,
that's,
right?
That's right, because we were talking about hand-powered rail vehicles, and well, some of the searches that we did came up with powered rail cars, and of course not just the major big steam engines of the day, but something called speeder cars.
Also known as putt-putts.
Yeah, putt-putts, track speeders, railway motor cars, and there's so many different names for these things, but these are not human-powered vehicles. They were used by the railway maintenance men for track inspection, just like the hand cars were.
Right.
Only this is bringing it into the modern era, I guess, because these are simple machines, but you drive them like you would a very, very small car on a track.
They look like little smart cars almost. And
they kind of do.
They were in use for a very long time, all the way up until the 1990s, actually.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Until 1990s. And I'll tell you what happened, Ben, that caused them to switch from what we call a speeder car to something called a, what would they call it, a rail?
Hang on. Pickup trucks. Right?
Yeah, but it's
road rail vehicles.
Road rail vehicles. And that is you're right, the pickup trucks or the SUVs that have the ability to lower the flanged wheels onto the track. And I think everybody's seen these on the road before.
Yeah, they look really cool.
They can drive on, you know, standard streets. They can also drive on the railway. And mm-hmm. these were so adaptable and such a great design, really, such a great idea, that they've switched completely over to these. And the speeder cars have kind of been relegated to collectors and enthusiasts at this point.
Right, yeah. There's a place called the North American Railcar Operators Association that organizes these get-togethers for speeder car enthusiasts. And you guys, speeder cars are, to me, they're fascinating. I would love to have one of these and just access to a railroad.
Yeah, it would be cool.
You know, seems like it'd be interesting, but it's not cheap.
It is not cheap. You're right. It's not a cheap hobby to have. And you mentioned one there, and that's that association is for the U.S. and Canada. So that's a North American firm.
Oh yeah.
If you're in Australia and you'd like to be, you know, I don't know, immersed in the speeder car world, you can check out the Australian Society of Section Car Operators Incorporated, and that is the Australian version of the same thing that we have here in North America. And man, we didn't really tell them what they are. I mean, they're very, very basic powered vehicles that are for track maintenance. I think they could be used for mining, things like that. Again,
right.
To get to and from the work sites, you know, just like the hand cars were.
And they were everywhere.
Yep, they really were. And people would ride these things with or without bodies, because now there's a lot of them that do have, highly specialized bodies, because they're
sure.
kind of like a workshop on wheels, really.
Yeah, so they'll have storage space for some necessary repair tools. They'll often have a roof and a windshield because there might be inclement weather, but then there are a lot that are entirely open.
Yeah, that's right, because, you know, it could be, it could be just to keep the operator out of the sun for hours and hours on end, or, you know, for cold temperatures, for rain, all that could happen. So, man, these things are a lot heavier than you would think too, Ben, because they're not very big. I mean, when you look at them, they're a very squat vehicle.
Yeah, they might be like maybe 9 feet long, but they could be shorter.
Yeah, they're only like 5 feet tall.
Yeah,
but the weight. I mean, this is incredible. These things weigh 3,500 pounds, and when you look at them, you're not going to realize that they weigh that much. But
right.
then you got to think about those wheels.
Yeah, yeah, because the wheel diameter is probably around 14 inches or
yeah.
so.
Cast iron.
Yeah.
These are iron wheels, just as you would find on a train. So, you know, it's the same thing, and there's a lot of other running gear. And, of course, these also have some type of engine or motor that goes along with them. So, you know, they're going to be very, very heavy vehicles, and the body adds weight, of course. And if you're carrying tools and things like that, the weight goes up even more from there. So
yeah.
there's some really interesting photos online of some of these, and they go all mm-hmm. the way back to, you know, I mean, early 1900s, you know, turn of the century stuff, where they're completely open and it looks very primitive, but kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Looks almost like a rat rod or something like that. On the rails. And then they go up to the modern era with, you know, a headlight and windshield wipers mm-hmm. and fiberglass bodies and
maybe, you know, a TV in there so you can catch the World Cup game.
Maybe, Ben. Maybe. It seems very important to a lot of people now. So
yeah, we have this thriving enthusiast community for these vehicles, and people are buying them up and spending thousands of dollars restoring them.
And you surprised me, because you told me that there's a chapter of this here in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and I had no idea. They run, where has it been?
Atlanta has a community for speeder car enthusiasts. Their last meeting was in April, their last event, rather, and it was in Pitts, Georgia.
Okay, so
yeah.
What they do is they find abandoned sections of track or track that they know will not be used that day.
Sure.
They cart these things on trailers,
yep.
you know, to wherever they're going for these events. They unload them. I don't know how they unload these things. I mean, I really don't. I don't know if they're capable of riding on roads or not. I don't really understand the whole thing. I'm going to have to watch.
I don't think you can drive them on a road.
I don't think so, because you would destroy any surface you're on.
Yeah, you got to pull it in a trailer.
I think you're right. No, I mean, as far as unloading, even driving it off and somehow loading it onto the track. I don't know how they do that.
That's interesting. We should find out. That is, to me, that's a fascinating thing. And I got so wrapped up in how it became a hobby.
Yeah.
I mean, man, okay, so cast your memory back, right? Late 1980s. How would you have known that you could make so much money off of buying train surplus maintenance vehicles? Scott, they used to sell these in like lots of up to 30.
It seems like lots of 30.
Man, yeah, dude.
Well, they were plentiful apparently. I mean,
right.
But it seems like, you know, when something like that becomes outdated, no one initially sees the value in it. No one initially said they would probably cannibalize them for parts.
That's exactly what it is. Apparently the railroad companies just assumed that the speeders would be cannibalized for their own engines,
mm-hmm.
and those engines are still used today in industrial applications.
So, okay, I got it. So they were torn apart, and a lot of them, you know, after the late 1980s, early 1990s,
mm-hmm.
never again saw the tracks. But now people are gathering them up. They're restoring them to like new condition. Others are, you know, just getting them out and having fun with them, so they're not, you know, in as pristine maybe, but
yeah.
You're still able to compete, or I don't know if you compete. I think you just go out for the enjoyment of it. You know, you take it out to one of these events, they let you get it on the rails and drive it, so that's gotta be, you know, happen relatively, you know, infrequently, I think, because
right.
You can't just load this on any track and ride it because you never know what's coming the other way, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't just hop on.
This would have to be some type of sanctioned event that says this section of rail is safe to use this day at this time and have at it. We've got it blocked for you, or an abandoned section of rail, but you know, how long would that be? Maybe a mile at most?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a strange hobby, Ben, and I've got maybe at the end of this podcast, I've got a question. I think maybe we're getting to that point because
yeah.
I think people should look these up. This is another thing you got to kind of look up to really appreciate, to see what a speeder car looks like.
Now, I do want to, before we get to the question, just the last thing that I have to say, the one more thing, a couple of cool websites I found where you can learn more about this, especially there's a great website that is going to sound like a weird address when I tell you, but it's got a fantastic look at restoration
okay.
of these cars. You know what? The first one is hard to pronounce. Like it seems like it may just be a bunch of letters. So what I'll do is just say search for Narcoa, N-A-R-C-O-A, speeder restoration. And you're going to run into a really cool site, that has step-by-step pictures, also advice for various components of a speeder car. And if you're interested in trains, because, you know, they're their own world of vehicles, you'll really enjoy this. The other one I saw was railspeeders.com.
Ah, that one's easy to remember. And I did go to that one, and there are plenty of good photos and information there. So,
yeah,
both of those are great. Good suggestions. And, can I ask you my question now?
Yes, please.
Because I think I've kind of exhausted everything that I really want to say about this, but.
Cool.
I know there's more out there.
Sure.
But we haven't dug too deep into this. Now, my question is this, and I was thinking about owning a speeder car, you know, the people that own a speeder car.
Okay.
All right. Is owning and building, restoring, driving, you know, competing in whatever they do and, you know, just enjoying a speeder car sort of like owning, a drag race car in a way. Because think about this. Now, it's clearly not as fast. I mean, you know, there's not quite the adrenaline. I'm sure it's exciting when you get your speeder car on the track and it actually works. That must be really
right.
cool.
Yeah.
It's not as fast, obviously. But, I mean, if you think about this, you're very, very limited for actual time that you can use this thing. You can fire it up in the garage and run the engine all day you want. But you have to be at a drag strip to really appreciate what this thing can do. I mean, and you're limited to the weekends and the time that you can do that for sanctioned events, or if you know somebody and you can rent track time, whatever. I get it. You know, track day cars are one thing, you know, that you just can't use it on a street. You
right.
have to use it only at the track. So, I mean, this is so similar to me to a drag race car, a drag strip car, because again, designated areas only, strictly, you know, very, very strict about laws of riding these things on the streets
yeah.
or anywhere else. And very similar, I guess, if you want to look at it this way, you put it on a straight rail and it can only go on a straight path. They're
That's
not really
true.
For cornering. These are, you know, obviously train tracks have corners, but you're not
yeah.
really out there for like an autocross course or anything like that. You don't have much choice in the mobility of it. You're on the track and you're going to go where the track takes you.
That's true. And there's not spontaneity.
That's kind of the way that drag racing cars are. You know, you have to go from this point to that point, and then it's back on the trailer.
That's what they're built to do. Yeah.
So I don't know. I see it very, very similar to owning and building and restoring and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with drag race cars is similar to the way a speeder car is in that way, I guess.
I agree. I mean, the difference would be, sure, as you say, speed, but when it comes down to the conceptual similarities, there are quite a few. I mean, you have to, especially if you're building and maintaining your own, you have to kind of be in love with the machinery itself, because you're not going to get too many chances to let it rip. You know what? If civilization fell, then one of the best ways to travel would be by rail.
Sure.
Because it goes in out of the way places. Most people don't really know very much about the rail system. Mm-hmm. But aside from post-apocalyptic warnings, I don't see a lot of opportunities.
You could pretty much get anywhere on the rails. I mean, as long as you know that, you know, a passenger train isn't coming at you at 80 miles an hour the other way.
Right. Well, that goes back to, you know, civilization.
But, yeah, you're right. Good point. But I guess you never really would know, would you?
You never know until you hear that whistle blowing like a Johnny Cash song. The one other point that we do want to leave you guys with is that in your state, definitely, and possibly in your media area, you can find rail car associations. And you don't have to own your own speeder car to hang out. I'm sure they'd be glad just to have you drop by and check it out.
Exactly right. They would. They'd love to tell you about what they do, I'm sure, because all hobbyists and collectors and people that have an interest in this, I'm sure, are like any other group of car guys and girls.
Right. Just excited that someone else is interested.
Exactly right. They'd love to talk about it. Love to have you take some photos of their speeder car.
Right.
It's just, and who knows? Maybe you would you somehow gain some passion for this and get into it yourself.
Fast forward a few years, and there you are wishing the handcar regatta would allow your speeder car.
Exactly right. And when you do figure it out, tell us how you get that thing off the trailer and under the tracks.
Yes, and you can also check out our social media. You can tell us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also check out our website, carstuffshow.com. I almost put in W's in front of it.
Nah, you don't have to. That's old school.
That's old school. And speaking of old school, if you want to cut around all that internet rigmarole and just send us a direct email, we'd love to hear from you. Our address is
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.